Sometimes it's like the littlest things that happen. And it just, it tells you kind of where you're going. And here's what I mean. So you guys use the Notes app in Apple? Yeah? If you have an Android, I'm sorry. We'll pray for you. But I have a Notes app, and I had a folder. Actually, can we pray first? I'll leave you guys hanging on there. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your spirit of joy, Lord. Thank you that we don't forget that the joy of the Lord is our strength when correction comes. Or as the Bible says, consider it all joy when you fall into various trials. Lord, let us not forget your joy. Let us not leave your joy in this sanctuary, God, but let us become joy in you, God. I thank you, Lord, for hearts that are open to receive, Lord. I thank you for a place where not only you dwell, but you are honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, Easter's. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I've had... Never mind. Don't say it. So my Notes app, I had a folder that said my sermons. And during the conference last week, I was just taking notes, and there's every time I have an idea for that might be a sermon for like a future, I'll put it in that folder. And so I received something during the conference. Like, oh, I want to put it in there. And I looked at the folder and I said my sermons, and I was like, that's not where I'm at anymore. So I changed the name from my sermons to his message. It's little. It's like, it's subtle, and some people might be like, okay, dude, it's not that big of a deal. It's just like, but no, it is. I want to remove the my, and I want to make it his. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And that needs to permeate our entire life. So Easter is like 10 days away, I think, 11 days away. Came so soon. Church, Easter is literally the greatest event in human history. Easter is the greatest event in human history. Greater than God saying, let there be light. Greater than God opening up the Red Sea. Greater than the 10 plagues on Egypt. Jesus dying on the cross and being resurrected from the dead, making a way for us to have relationship, to have fellowship with the Father, is the greatest event in human history. It is the greatest event in human history. And we celebrate that in 10, 11 days. By the way, next Friday is Good Friday. And we celebrate. What does he mean, celebrate? We celebrate the crucifixion of Jesus. We look at the crucifixion the way that Jesus looked at the crucifixion. When Jesus saw the cross, he saw joy beyond it. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What is the joy set before him? It was Jesus going to heaven to prepare a place for you. And in Jesus' words, he said this. He said, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may be there also. In other words, I'm going to heaven and I'm getting your room ready. Because we're going to have an eternal sleepover. And it's going to be awesome. So we'll have a service next Friday. And you guys are all invited at 7 o'clock. And tonight, I want us to turn to John. Chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." I was reading this earlier, and I was thinking about how amazing it is that the person writing this was there. The person writing this scripture was there. His name was John, in case you didn't know. And we could read it like this. If John was saying this from the first person, he could say, "Having loved me who was in the world, he loved me to the end. He loved me to the end." What's amazing about... I'm going to teach you guys something real quick, all right? Can I do that? Yes. Pay attention to summaries. Pay attention to lead-ins. Pay attention to being set up. I'll say it that way, being set up. So when you read John chapter 1, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God, right? When you read that, the majority of that first chapter before it gets to John the Baptist, it is framing. Everyone say framing. It is framing his entire gospel, so that when you read the entire gospel of John, you're looking at it through the lens of Jesus is the Word, Jesus is the light, and Jesus came to save us. Everything that John writes about in the gospel of John is through the lens of who Jesus is. This verse, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." That is a frame. Everyone say frame. Of what the rest of the chapter and on talks about. He's setting the scene. That's what he's doing. Best way to say it. He's setting the scene. This is why it's important, because John says that he loved us. He loved them to the end. And we're going to see what it looks like to love someone to the end. Verse 2, "And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded." Everyone say, he loved them till the end. Jesus washes the feet of the one who betrays him. In other words, no matter how horrible the betrayal, no matter how bad the betrayal was, it didn't change who Jesus was. Judas could not change who Jesus was. Jesus was a servant, and Jesus loved him till the end, period. When you look up the word in Greek, "love them till the end," that word is agape. And that word agape, everyone say agape. The word agape means unconditional love. And it's literally a word that can only, everyone say only, be attributed to God. That is a word that is a God-like love. And can we agape each other? Yeah, we can. But not with our own love, with his love. I can only love Joaquin to the extent that I am loved by the Father. If when you recognize how much God loves you unconditionally, you receive that grace and the power to love others unconditionally. Even in this moment, Jesus washing the feet of Judas, his betrayer. Everyone say context. So now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus, this is, famously, this is the Last Supper. You guys want to hear something crazy? Who was at adult camp? Raise your hand. Great. So this wasn't my takeaway, but we have an elder in the church. Her name is Carol. And she shared this takeaway at camp, and I was literally mind blown. I was mind blown. It was during early birds, because we did early birds.
Amen.
Amen. And if you don't know what early birds is we wake up at 7:30. Well, we're in the sanctuary at 7:30 in the morning at camp doing Bible study. That's what early birds is. So we're doing that. And I forgot what chapter, JC, who's not in the room in the moment, she could tell us what chapter we were reading. But it was very similar to in the chapter they were celebrating a feast. I don't know if it was a feast of booths or it was a feast of Passover, whatever it was. And here's Carol's takeaway. So it's not my takeaway, it was her takeaway, but it's a great takeaway nonetheless. She said, it is amazing how we have to be sensitive to when the Lord comes into the room. We have to be sensitive when we feel the Lord in our midst. Here is why. All throughout the New Testament, in the Gospels, they're celebrating the Feast of Booths. They're celebrating Passover. They have all of these feasts. What are these feasts supposed to represent? They're celebrating God in these feasts. And yet Jesus, who is God, is right in the midst of them, and they don't recognize him. Jesus is in the midst of these feasts. Jesus could have been like, hey, you guys are celebrating me. The Feast of Passover, I am the Lamb. And they missed it. They completely missed it. They got caught up with doing church. They got caught up with doing church. Can I love you guys a little more?
Yes, sir.
Can I love you guys a little more? We need to have reverence for this place.
Amen.
We need to have reverence for this place. We need to have honor for our pastors.
Right.
Specifically the leaders. We have to have honor for our pastors. Amen. If we have yet to buy a journal, it will hinder you. I'm saying it again, it will hinder you. Dishonoring the people that God placed over you will hinder you. All throughout the Old Testament, you look at people who came up against Moses and said, Moses, you're not the only one who hears from God. And God considered it a rebellion. And the earth opened up and swallowed all of them. There were no other groups who were like, no, we cool, Moses, we cool. You can lead. Even Moses, in Deuteronomy chapter 20. The people are thirsty and they tell them, and it's, read things in context, all right? Because sometimes, if you guys are familiar with like Israel going from Egypt into the promised land, they were a bunch of babies. They were. Because at first I was like, when I first got saved and I was reading like those passages, I was always thinking like, man, like, why didn't God provide for them? They never asked. And when they did ask, they were complaining about it. It wasn't like, Moses, we want some water. It was like, Moses, we're thirsty and we're dying. We want to go back to Egypt. Like, that was their attitude. It was never like, Moses, can you ask God to, like, get us some food? It wasn't that. It was, Moses, we missed the meat in Egypt. That's what it was. It wasn't like that there was no reverence for the Lord. It was just like, it was just complaining. But even with Moses, who was literally leading millions of people through the wilderness. Read it. It's in Numbers. Did I say Numbers? I said Deuteronomy? Okay, sorry. It's Numbers 20. You know, let's go there. Go Numbers chapter 20. Can we take a side trail here? Side trail? Who says that? Starting a trend, babe. I'm starting a trend. Take it back. Numbers 20, verse 1. Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there. Aw, everyone say aw. That was Moses' sister. And was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together again. See, look, they didn't even ask. They just came like... You know, in like my 14 years here, or 13 or 12, I don't know how many, sometimes this is people's attitude. Hey, how come we don't do this? Is that a statement or a question? I'm not going to go there right now. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Everyone say drama. They're so dramatic. Why have you brought us up? Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into the wilderness that we and our animals should die? Even our dogs are going to die, Moses, and you don't care. And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? Wow. Wow. Can you guys not see how crazy this is? Literally, whenever they asked for water, they got water. Whenever they asked for food, they got food. God literally created food and it rained down early in the morning. It's called manna. And here's what they say. And God shows up as a pillar of fire by night and a cool cloud by day. And they say, this is an evil place. We want to be in Egypt. In other words, we would rather be in a place. This is what Satan does, though. He makes you forget the bondage. He reminds you of the pleasures of sin, but he doesn't remind you of the consequences of sin. And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates. In other words, Lord, you're not blessing us how I wanted you to bless us. Nor is there any water to drink. So Moses and Aaron, they didn't even respond. They're like, okay, we're going to seek Jesus on this one. This is what they do. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces. And the glory of the... Don't miss this part, by the way. Don't miss this part. Talking about reverence for this house. There is a proper way to come into this church. This is not your house. This is his house. I'm going to say it again. This is not your house. This is his house. And listen, I'm the first one that when I get home, I take off my shoes and socks. And I change into some shorts. We cook some food. And then we just hang out. But that's not this place. That is not this place. This is a place where if we want his presence to dwell here, if we want his glory to dwell here, if we want his peace and his joy to be in this place, if we want a place where a new person walks in all of a sudden, they're like, why do I feel so at home? Why do I feel so at peace? Why is it that when I'm here, I'm not depressed? Why is it when I'm here, I'm not anxious? If we want a place like that, there it is. They fell on their faces. You know what that means? It means when I come into this place, it's not about me. I'm going to go to the lowly place. And I'm going to let the Lord do all the work. I'm going to fall on my face because I'm not the one. I'm not here to be seen. I'm here to see him. I'm not here so that people can... Does that make sense? Like, guys, this is not a social club. This is not a social club. And I hope you guys socialize. It's good for you. But this is not a social club. You shouldn't be more excited to see your friends than to encounter God. You shouldn't be more excited to talk about worldly things than to talk about him. I told you guys, right, that I was loving you guys today? So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock. Everyone say speak.
Speak.
This is important. Speak. Say it one more time. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. See, the Lord pays attention. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Go back to that verse. To be honest, one of the first mistakes that Moses makes, and he says we. It's not Moses bringing out water. It's the Lord. Moses starts to take credit here. Must we bring water for you? And everyone say pride comes before destruction. We're going to see the destruction. Not literal destruction, but it'll make sense. Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and, what is that word? What did God say? What did Moses do? What did God say? What did Moses do? Look at what happens. Struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly. And the congregation and their animals, God pays attention to details. Someone needs to hear that. God pays attention to the details. And their animals drank. Next verse. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. He's like, hey guys, come here. Come here. Because you did not believe me to, what's that word? Hallow. To hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore you shall not bring this assembly, we'll stay here, into the land which I have given to them, or given them. God said, speak, and Moses struck. And blessings were withheld from Moses. Every time you read scripture, church, write this down. When I read scripture, I promise you this is the best way to study the Bible. When I read scripture, what is the heart of God? When I read scripture, what is the heart of God? See, for God, it's not, does God love Moses? Yes. Actually, as a matter of fact, God loves Moses so much that God is the one who buries Moses. Literally. No one knows where Moses was buried. Why? Because God's the one who buried him. That's pretty honorable. It's not that God didn't love him. It had nothing to do with that. But what did God say? He said, you did not hallow me in front of the people. You didn't honor me before the people. And a blessing was withheld. That is the heart of God. Not to withhold things from you, but to say, hey, like, if you don't honor me, like, there's consequences to that. And we cannot be deceived into thinking that when Pastor says, bring your Bible, and we don't bring it, and we think, oh, there's no consequences. When we don't buy a journal, oh, there's no consequences. When he says, hey, like, get crazy, oh, I'm not going to do it. There's no consequences. Oof. It's quiet. It's okay. Stay quiet for a little longer. Maybe that's why you haven't found someone. Maybe that's why you're still in bondage. Maybe because if you can't do the simple things, that a man led of the Spirit is asking you to do, God can't release the healing, the blessing that you're praying for. And you're working against yourself. Because you will not honor the simple things. I'll put it this way. Candace, you know I love you. You love me?
Of course.
How much?
So much.
So much. You love being married to me?
100%.
Is it easy to be married to me?
Someday.
Here, I'm going to give you guys a picture, okay? Being married is challenging. Because in order for your marriage to get better, you have to go lower. And we have a great marriage, but we're very low. There's a lot of sacrifices that we make because I'm not the priority, she's not the priority, our marriage before the Lord is our priority. And here's what I want to say to every single person here. If you can't do the simple thing of buying a journal, if you can't do the simple thing of bringing your Bible, you're not ready for marriage. You are not. Marriage is full of a lot of simple things that if you don't do, it creates big consequences. I'm going to say it again. Marriage is full of a lot of simple things that if you don't do, there are consequences. You guys hearing me? Come on, are you hearing me? I really feel like that's from the Lord right now. If you cannot, just every time you don't bring your Bible, every time you don't have that journal, every time you don't praise and worship like the Lord has asked us to do through Pastor Drew, just say, I'm not ready for marriage then. I'm not ready for a really, really good job. You guys okay? Can you just turn to your neighbor and just kind of like just rub their shoulder and say, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
I say these things because I love you. I love you guys so much. Listen, I want every single one of you guys to have the best job in the world. I want every single one of you guys to have the best marriage in the world.
Amen.
I want every single one of you guys to have the best ministry, whether it's here or somewhere else or wherever it is you're called to serve. But if you're not faithful in the little things, you tie God's hands to give you better and greater things.
Yeah.
You're the one who ties his hands.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what the good news is? You can free it up.
Yeah.
You can open up the windows of heaven at any point you want. You really can. Amen? How much time we have? So next on Sunday and on Wednesday, I want us to come in with a different attitude. I want us to come in with an attitude of, man, I'm going to worship like my salvation depends on it.
Right.
I'm going to listen to the word like my salvation depends on it.
Yeah.
It's a good way to look at it. Now, I'm not going to say you can lose your salvation. That's not what I'm saying. But God loves the desperate for him.
Yes.
He
yes.
does.
That is true.
He loves those who are desperate.
Right.
I'll put it this way. He can't help but respond to those who are desperate.
Right.
He can't. It's not in his nature. It's not in his character to reject a broken and contrite heart. He can't do it. It's like God can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to reject someone who's desperate for him.
Yeah.
You can have all of him if you would get out of the way.
Amen.
Do you guys want to go back to John?
Thank you.
Let's go to John 13. Let's jump down to verse 12. So the reason we're going to stay here for the next few moments and then we'll dismiss. The reason we're right here is because how many of you guys know that when you're about to die, the last conversation you have is probably very important? In verse 1 it says that Jesus knew that his hour had come. Jesus knew that he knew. As a matter of fact, that night, he's going to get arrested. Time is ticking. And he decides to have a conversation with his disciples. The reason I'm bringing this up is because next week is Easter. And I want us to have this in mind as we go into next week. For many of us, it's like, oh, Monday, school and work, and Tuesday, school and work, and oh, Wednesday, so it's like, woohoo, hallelujah. And then Thursday, and then Friday, and then Saturday, and then Sunday, it's like, okay, cool, church time. It's like we have an on and off switch. Yeah. Easter is so holy and so precious and so amazing. We should be like looking forward to it, meditating on it, seeking the Lord on it. Like the whole week should be like, Lord, like this is the week that you died for me so that I could be in heaven with you forever. Yeah. It's not like come on Sunday morning, it's like, oh yeah, it's Easter. I got my pastel shirt on. Great. Hollow. We have to hollow him. Amen. And my point is, I don't want you to forget about him on Monday and forget about him on Tuesday. And then come visit him on Wednesday at Sozo and then forget about him on Thursday. And then be like, oh yeah, Jesus died today. It's Friday. No. Our hearts should belong to him. And when your heart belongs to someone, you teenagers, when your heart belongs to someone, all you can do is think about them. All you can text is them. All you can look at are photos of them. Right? You become obsessed real quick. Kind of toxic, but very quick. Right? As a matter of fact, in Revelation. All right, let's go to Revelation. Man, I know. I'm still trying to go to John. Revelation 19, verse 1. And then we still have time. Is this good, church? We're going to read some scripture. Is that okay? Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. After these things, I heard a loud voice. By the way, Revelation was written by John. John wrote the Gospel of John, and he also wrote Revelation on the island of Patmos. They couldn't kill him, so they exiled him. That's literally what happened. They couldn't kill him. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication and has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Verse 3, again they said, Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever. Verse 4, and the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Verse 5, then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. Verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his wife, you know who his wife is? The church. Not you, the church. If you're not part of the church, you're not part of his wife. Jesus is coming back for a pure and spotless bride, the church. Amen? For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Verse 8, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Amen. We as a church, we're called to be the bride of Christ. We're collectively, as a church, as a youth group, as whole community, we're called to be obsessed with Him. We're called to, like, back to being young again, text all the time, or actually our younger generation or older generation, Yahoo Messenger, AOL. Before you guys played pool on iMessenger, we would play pool on Yahoo Messenger. You remember that, Lorenzo? I'm serious. You'd be like messaging like your friend on Yahoo. It was like, you want to play pool? Cool. And then like you click this button and like, this new window would open and be pool. Yeah. It's not new. Sorry. We as a church were called to be obsessed with Him. And I plead with you, so is the youth group, tomorrow be obsessed with Him. Because He was first obsessed with you. Jesus was so obsessed with us. Here, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. For God so loved you. It didn't say for God was so powerful. It didn't say for God wanted to display His majesty. It didn't say for God wanted to display His glory. It didn't say for God was bored. No. God loved you so much that He came after you and paid for you. Amen. I'm going to end with this scripture, okay? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 and 19. 1 Peter 1, 13. And then we'll pray. 1 Peter 1, 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and rest your hope fully. Someone say fully. Upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. Verse 15, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Now, does God expect you to be perfect right now? No. But when we plead the blood of Jesus and when we repent, God sees us as perfect. And the trajectory of our life is every day we're being perfected. It's called sanctification. It means that you used to say a lot of bad words last year, and this year you only say it once a day. It's better. And soon it'll be once a week. And soon it'll be only when you stub your toe really bad once a year. Sanctification. Amen. Verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here. Your stay here, yeah. Your time on earth, God is watching you. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing, this is one of the greatest verses, church, that you will ever hear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. No money could have saved you. God couldn't be like, all right, I got $1 billion. I'm going to save you. Sorry. You're worth more than a billion. You're worth, the cost of your salvation was more than a trillion, quadrillion, centillion, sextillion, septillion. Way more than that. You know what Jesus paid for your salvation? Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. You're not redeemed from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers. Wow. In other words, no, I'm not going to go there. Verse 19, but with the precious. Someone shout precious.
Precious.
Come on, shout precious.
Precious.
But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He bought you with His blood, church. Who loves you like that? Who looks down from heaven at all of us and says, I cannot spend an eternity without them? All right, let's go get him. What's it going to cost? Jesus, it's going to cost your life. Amen. You have to become one of them and then die. For the joy set before him. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, let us grasp this reality, God. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay your life down for a friend. Is Jesus King? Yeah. Is Jesus Lord? Yeah. Don't forget that Jesus longs to be your friend. He is a friend that will give you the best advice, because it'll work every single time. Amen. He is the friend that will always make you feel better, because he's your comforter. He is a friend that will speak in the midst of the chaos and calm your storms. He just doesn't give you rest. He is your rest. Lord, let us know you. Let us be more aware of you, God. And let us hallow you in this place, God, because you are worthy of all the glory and honor and praise, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.